Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's see how awake you all are this morning. Alleluia, Christ is risen. You did it. He's risen indeed. Well, lest you think that I've somehow gotten myself confused and disoriented about what day it is, I will remind you that it is still Easter in the church. Remember, for us, Easter isn't just a one-day celebration. It's a 50-day-long celebration in the church because we have a different calendar. We have a different story to tell. We get to tell the story about God's love for us and for all people and for all of creation, and that in and through his death and resurrection, Jesus has defeated sin and death forever. And all things are being made new. So Easter is the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord, and one day just isn't enough to celebrate this mystery of faith. We need a whole season to ponder what it means for our lives and to explore all of its implications. So this season in the church calendar is called Eastertide. It lasts for 50 days, 8 Sundays, 7 weeks. Which, if you'll think about it, that's longer than Lent. And I think that's really significant. The implications of Jesus' resurrection are so transformative and so life-changing that we need longer than one day to explore all of its meaning. So yes, it is still Easter for us. We are still saying Christ is risen, he is risen indeed. And there are other signs in worship that it is still Eastertide. We're saying a thanksgiving for baptism to open worship instead of confession of sin. We're saying the Nicene Creed. We still have our white and gold paraments up. The Paschal candle is lit, and we are still singing loud Easter hymns. We are still celebrating Christ's victory over death. And today we get to celebrate that victory with one of my very favorite stories in all of Scripture. Jesus making himself known to the two Emmaus travelers in the breaking of bread. This story is so rich. I could preach on it all 8 Sundays of Easter, and I still wouldn't have preached all the sermons that I want to preach on this text. I still wouldn't have enough time to tell you all the amazing things about this passage. Like how I wish I could show you the fascinating research that's been done that has led scholars to believe that the second traveler is actually Cleopas' wife. Oh, if we could only sit down for a couple of hours in a Bible study and walk through this passage word by word and phrase by phrase. I could tell you about the cool words that Luke uses and how they can be translated to help us more fully and deeply understand this passage. I'd show you what a masterful storyteller Luke is by showing you how their choice of words and images in this passage connect to so many other words and images elsewhere in Luke's gospel. We talk about how Luke, the only gospel to provide us with the nativity story and the only gospel to provide us with this story, weaves beautifully so many thoughts and ideas and themes about Jesus and what it means to follow him in these profound verses. But alas, there's never enough time to preach all the sermons I want to preach, to teach all the Bible studies I want to teach, and to share with you all the things that I wish I could. And so for just a few more minutes, we'll look at this passage. So these verses take us back to the afternoon on the day of the resurrection. Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas are headed to Emmaus, and if we listen and look closely, we can hear the grief and despair in their voices. We can see the pain and the sadness in their eyes. When he said, "We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel," oh, I hear so much pain in that, because they had put their hope in Jesus. And even though these disciples aren't named anywhere else in the Gospels, they are very clearly Jesus' disciples. They had followed him throughout his earthly ministry. They believed him to be the Messiah. And 3 days prior to this conversation, he was brutally beaten and put to death by the religious leaders of his day. We had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. Their hopes were shattered, right? They expected a different kind of Messiah, a different way for Jesus to be the Messiah. And him dying on a cross was nowhere in any of their expectations or hopes. And as they are making their way to Emmaus, their hearts must have been heavier than the stone that was rolled in front of Jesus' tomb. Things for them and the other disciples were dark and bleak. For 3 days, they had all been walking through the valley of the shadow of death, which can also be translated through the darkest of valleys. And what happens? Jesus came near. The text says that Jesus came near and he went with them. All throughout his ministry, Jesus came near to people. And he does it again after his resurrection too. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, through the darkest of valleys, you are with me. Jesus was with the Cleopases even when they didn't recognize it. Jesus came near. And on that 7-mile journey, they got to experience what I think we all dream of experiencing. Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. Oh, what a dream! He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Incredible. And if that wasn't enough, after they invite Jesus to stay with them, and when he was at the table with them, he took bread. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it to them. We know this pattern well, and they did too. Because when Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them, in that moment, their eyes were opened and they knew it was him. Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. This is so incredibly powerful and deeply beautiful. Jesus revealed himself to them in the breaking of bread, just like Jesus does for us. Every single time we come to his table and share this meal with him. In recent months, some of you have been asking me really, really good questions about communion. And so this summer, I'm going to do a sermon series on the sacrament of communion. Because the sacrament of communion is central to not only what we do in worship each week, it is absolutely central to who we are as God's people and how we are to live in the world. There are so many things I want to teach you and share with you, practical things and mystical things and rich theological things and beautiful and tender and deeply meaningful things. This meal is so powerful and so sacred that when the Cleopases shared it with Christ, their eyes were opened and they knew it was Jesus. So yes, the Cleopases were the first people to encounter the risen Christ in the breaking of bread, but they weren't the last, were they? Because still every time Jesus invites his people to his table to receive his body and blood in the wine and bread, we still encounter the risen Christ. We still encounter Christ at this table because for us, the bread and the wine aren't just bread and wine. In this meal, they become for us the very presence of Christ. When you receive the bread and the wine, you are literally holding Jesus in your hands. When you put the bread and the wine into your mouth, Jesus is entering into your body. And you get to taste and see that the Lord is good with your taste buds. We get to take into our bodies the presence of Jesus, which means that into your body goes the love of God. Into your body goes forgiveness. Into your body goes Jesus' goodness and grace and mercy. The truth of our faith and what we believe about Holy Communion means that you physically encounter the risen Christ every single time you come to this table and Jesus breaks bread with you. The presence of Jesus in the bread and wine doesn't just nourish us spiritually. It nourishes us physically as well. The table blessing we say every Sunday isn't just words. The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ that you receive in the bread and wine, they truly strengthen you, and they truly keep you in his grace. Brothers and sisters, just like Mr. and Mrs. Cleopas, that resurrection night, we encounter the risen Christ as Jesus reveals himself to us each Sunday in the breaking of bread. Jesus comes to us again and again and again and again. So you are invited to this table by Jesus to accept his invitation to encounter his presence every time you come. And every time you come, there is always more than enough room for you because Jesus' table has room for everyone. And you come because Jesus wants to feed you and meet you here. Thanks be to God for a love like that. Alleluia. Amen.